Cool. Okay. So I'm sure most of you in the room know what the annual season is and the basic offer. Try and catch it, and everyone on Zoom kind of across that as well. Sing out if this is your first time kind of hearing about it. But I think, yeah, anyway, we're just going to rip through some basic information. Nothing has really changed much from last year, which is, yeah, we had a bit more of a longer session on it last year when we made some changes to how we approach the selection criteria and all of that. But yes, basically, you can see up on here and the application info pack, we've got a spare one floating around. That the deal is basically the same. Get a bit more rehearsal space, 160 hours. And the whole idea of the annual season is for you to like fulfill your creative vision in the space. Great. I'm going to keep this quiet brief so we can get to the juicy conversation. We are doing the Awesome Festival opportunity and offer, and that will be, we'll have an info session on that tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock that we'll also be recording. So if you're interested in that, the application form and the stuff that we're going to go through today will still apply. There's just one question that's different. And Jenny Simpson, who's the CEO of Awesome, will be there tomorrow to get more like in depth about how to answer the question and how to pitch for shows for family and children. Cool. Eligibility is pretty straightforward and dry. It's all in the pack. But we're looking for indie productions, theater, dance, or live performance work. There might be something that we haven't thought of or had at the venue yet. And there is a new section in the pack that's an optional question if you have an idea that is sitting a bit outside of the standard 3 week, 2 week block. So we can bounce a bit of that later on when we get to the form. Works that haven't been presented in WA. So it did used to be called the development season. It's just about developing artists in WA and new work in WA. It doesn't mean you can't do a classic text, but you want to be doing, you know, a twist on it that's going to make it relevant. And we'll talk about relevancy more in, come on in. Oh, good. When we get to the application form. Cool. And if you were to use an existing script, then you need to get the rights. You're basically just showing the panel that you can actually do the show, which we love. And everyone has to become members of the Blue Room, which there's lots of perks anyway. We're going to dive into the selection criteria when we get to the form, but you can just see here are the four main ones: creativity, development, engagement, and planning. The good thing about doing a Blue Room application is that a lot of this you can use to apply for your grants in the future, whether you're in the annual season or not. And the assistance with applications. So do not be shy in terms of letting all of us know what your ideas are. The program is curated by an independent panel of peers, and every year that rotates. So Blue Room will select people with different form and experience in different parts of the industry. But we keep it this way with the annual season so that it is a bit arm's length to us, and we can support you how, you know, to get your applications in. We can kind of soundboard any ideas that you have. So yeah, if there's time at the end of the session tonight, totally open for that. I'm happy to stick around and chat. But we do also have a couple of working groups where Bree and I just sit up in the bar on Thursday mornings, and you can book in a one-on-one chat with either of us. Or you can just use the bar as like a desk and a bit of accountability to work on your applications. If you do really want to have a meeting and you haven't had an application successful before with annual season, then just let Bree know and we can see what we can do in terms of setting up a meeting outside those times. This is just our team. Part of The timing of doing it tonight is so that we could welcome Sukjeet as our new executive director as well. So very excited to work with Sukjeet and also with Bree, our producer. If you haven't met already, I'm sure most people have. But yeah, so we're, you know, a relatively new team and we just wanted to meet you. Anna Lee is our comms coordinator, managing the Zoom and trying to wrangle that Zoomy technology. But yeah, so that's a little bit about us. We do also have a programming policy. When I was talking about how we do the panel and how we approach programming here at the Blue Room, so it is up on our website under annual season. You can just have a little bit of a read. It's a bit dry at the moment because it's an internal policy, but basically we just want to be transparent about how we do things here and not hide anything from people about how decisions are made, how we approach things. We also have an artist advisory group that, you know, we get feedback from artists of like, how do we do things? How do we make things better? So always open to feedback on that stuff as well. Are there any questions before we get into more of a chat about the application form? Anything that's come up so
far? We'll dive in a bit deeper into the actual form in a moment, but just kind of if there's any questions from like the pack or any.
Everyone's pretty across it. Yes. Cool. All right. Great. So the annual season application form, it is very, very similar to last year, but we'll just take it from the top.
We've got one. There's some spares and then there's this spare.
I printed out hopefully enough for everyone. Yeah.
And there's this one.
We just printed out some for you so you could scribble along, but everyone knows, where to find it in the Zoom. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Awesome. We're going old school with scribbling notes. Cool. So before starting, just read this pack. It's also on the website. We have a spare here. If anyone wants a printout to take home tonight, just let us know. It's got all of the information that you need, tech, marketing, all of that stuff that comes along with being in the annual season. We do accept written video or audio answers if you want to get into your podcast era as well. And yeah, there is some limits on the selection criteria, so do stick to that. Any questions, please let us know. The submission deadline's on the 22nd of August. Cool. So the key information should be pretty straightforward. Don't worry, you're not marked on like the short project description. It's just a reference point. And now we're going to get into the selection criteria questions. So a good tip that our outgoing executive director, Kat Osborne, told us once when it comes to writing grants or applications is to actually just bring up the selection criteria and have it next to your form while you're filling it in, because this is like this is the key to how you're going to get marked on things. So it's just something to keep in mind. And we have done a bit of work on the form to make it really clear, like when we're asking for what, like why you have to fill this in. Okay, for the first part, we're going to ask about creativity, then development, and then engagement and planning. Cool. Okay. So Bree and Sukjeet, you're both producers and makers in your own right. You both wear many hats. So I've roped you in today to talk about some tips and tricks about how you would approach this application form, whether you've got a specific project in mind or a made up one, or just wanting to talk a bit generally about what comes up when you read these questions. So with question one, what do you want to make? Creativity is very subjective. Oh, thank you, Annalie. Doing great. With what do you want to make? I mean, obviously creativity is like very subjective, but if you have the selection criteria next to you and you can see, you know, that there is prompts there such as what, like having a clear artistic vision and rationale, how with the annual season, applicants can express creativity in a number of ways, like originality in concept, innovative form or style, timely and relevant themes, and or representation of diverse voices and perspectives. What are your tips for answering that question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where are you reading?
Oh, from the application pack.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yes. I think there's only one of these floating around. But, yeah, you can bring up the link on your phone as well. Oh, yeah, sorry, we can do it. I think it's got a slightly different... Yes.
That should be good for you.
Great. Yes, good one.
Thank you for the link. Cool. I mean, before we even get to question one, I'm going to just, like, give a quick hot tip on how I start an application. Okay, basically, like, if you can, if you know that you have a team or you have like one other person you're working with, if you know, hopefully you're like not going into it completely alone. But I would just say try and break up the workload. So applications like this, like, there is a lot of questions. It can be quite daunting. Like, it is a lot of work and it does take longer than you think it's going to take. So whenever I've done anything like this, I always like have a meeting with my team and we break it up. We go, cool, I'm going to do question one because the show is my idea and I know what I'm talking about in terms of the show. Then we get later on questions about like the space. Cool. I know that I already have a set designer who I'm working with and I'm going to get them to talk about the space. Just so then like you break it up a bit. Also, even when you like start the application, look at your support material early as well. Again, support material is one of those things that if you leave it till the end and then you realize, oh, I want to make a 3-minute trailer. And now I've got a day to do that. And now my computer's not working. So just like always start that stuff early. You're working with a team of people and you need to wrangle images of their past work. People take a long time to reply to things. Like everyone has a different life and a different schedule. Get onto support material early. And on that, anything visual speaks so loudly. So language, especially around creativity, is so subjective and everyone can interpret things very differently. So if you do have the option of a prior development and you have got a video, you have got images, include them because you might know exactly what you're talking about, but the panel might read that and go, this makes no sense to me. I can't get a clear image of what the work actually looks like. And then it's like, what, like you can't program a work that you literally don't know what it is kind of thing. I mean, maybe some people do, but anyway, so that's kind of the things to think about before the application even starts. And then question one, what do you want to make? So be specific. Don't leave it as a surprise. Yes, you want maybe you want your audience to be surprised, but you don't want the panel to be surprised. You want the panel to get a very clear picture of exactly what it is. They want to have faith that they go, yes, I'm excited about this show. I can see what it could look like. Like, I'm excited about it because I know what it is. If something is unknown, it's a bit like, yeah, it's just vague. So you just want a like very clear picture. So in like this actual question, like outline your main themes and the relevance to your show. So think of it like, you know, you've got, say, if you're doing like a narrative work and you've got part of the script, like talk about what are the like greater, like broader themes of the script and then connect it to the actual script. If that makes sense, like what your idea is and then like the broader idea, I guess.
And just using like, there's this section at the top as well that says, you can do a combination of paragraphs and dot points. Now I've in my evolution of like writing grants or just trying to talk about my work in different formats, I used to always go down the paragraph route, and I used to just write a lot of wanky language that didn't even make sense to me, but I just thought that's what people want to hear and that's what's going to get me this funding or this whatever project up. And then now, like, I've sat on the other end where I'm assessing, and there's things that there's an emotional response that I feel when I'm reading 100, not that we're getting 150 applications, but maybe we will, that's exciting. But sometimes I've read like 150, 200, 500 at a time. And when I had a mentor that would write dot points in applications together, and she used to use, you know how sometimes, I mean, it's different for us because you can actually type in a Word document, which is amazing, but when you're like on different online formats, sometimes you're you can't, like, all you can do is bold and underline and just find a way to have, you know how we have space on our resumes for a reason, so it's not just all like boxes of information. But imagine if you were reading someone's application, what would be the easiest way, using language that you would use that's true to you, because that's what's going to shine through. Is this person speaking because this is what they think we want, or is it actually what they want? And another like exercise that has helped me with the first, so the what and the why, is sometimes I know exactly what the why is, and I spend a lot of time talking about the emotional experience and what it makes me feel, and I'm a very feeling person, so I get really caught up in the why. And then some feedback I've received is that, but what is it? Is it a theater show? Is it when you suggest, when you use the word experimental, what do you mean? Because I could just be throwing words around because I know why I want to make it and why I care, but I actually haven't figured out what's the form. And you know what? It's okay if you don't know what the form is, because you could just say that, and then it makes it so much more clearer to the reader. They're going, oh, okay, that's okay. They don't know what the form is just yet. And it might turn into this, this, or this, but at least they've identified that in very, very plain language is exactly what's going to happen. And just because, I don't know how you both feel about this when it comes to like word limits, you know, I'm having a very existential day. So I'm asking myself, okay, so why do we have application forms? Why do we have word limits? Why do we have support material? And I think I'm also about to get my period, so I think I'm also feeling a lot of existential things. But I'm in this moment, I'm thinking, maybe it's actually, and even selection criteria, maybe it's an exercise that's helped me in the past when an idea isn't ready and I'm trying to push it through because of a deadline, and I'm like, oh, I really want to get it through, and I haven't thought through all the elements. So this is sometimes, I know it's a laborious, it's tiring, and we all hate applications, but one thing that it does give me personally is just a structure. And yes, I know it's in an English language structure. It's got selection criteria. It's got this terminology, that the system that we exist in, but we can see some positives that might help us create. Because then you have to, and then you get the funding, then you get the project, and then you have to make it. And it's kind of scary, right? When you get told, oh my God, I got to do it now. But at least I have some sort of guideline of what I wrote. So for me, I kind of dual answer the what and why, but I think it's just about like the language that we use.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not be afraid to say it as honest as you can.
Yeah.
Because that's more appreciated than someone trying to force it. Yeah.
Yeah. And just like going back on something that you said about like explaining the form and the style of it, is also to not make assumptions that the person that's reading it knows what you're talking about, because like a panel comes from all different areas. Like, you know, they could come from like film or music or visual art, like, and they might not have the same, like if you're making a theater show, they might not have the theater training that you have, or they might not have the dance training that you have. Like, so just make sure that you do actually explain what you mean, what you're talking about. And then just on the why do you want to make it, I think just like visually, the way that I think about it is like with three bubbles. So the first bubble is think about yourself and your team, and think about, okay, why do we want to make it? The second bubble, think about the context. So think about the community that you're working in. And if you're putting on a show at the Blue Room, think about this, like the place that you're putting it on in, the people that come here, the people that you're going to connect with the show. What is the context of that? And then think about the greater landscape that the show sits within. So think about the world, think about the politics of it, or is it not about that? Is it about being like, I just want to make a show for joy so people have some joy in the world? Like, so think that real kind of different layers of like 1, 2, 3 going outwards. Where does the show sit in the landscape of everything? Yes.
So what was the first one again?
Yourself.
Why you? Why
so I think,
you?
Yeah, yes. Why is this show important to you? Is it, you know, personally, it's a story you need to tell? Is it about career development?
Mm.
Is it about bringing the team together and collaborating? What is like the reason that these people have come together? Why is it this story?
And why is that useful to do it at Blue Room as well and in the annual season?
Exactly.
So, you know, it can be creative reasons. I really like the three bubbles. I think we'll change the question to make that a prompt. Something I've done in grant applications as well is literally just like use headings within that. I know 350 words is not much, but if you had those as headings, it's so clear to the panel. Like you don't need to try and outsmart the panel or to try and, you know, hide things. Like that's why we've tried to get as clear as we can. So to help you be as clear as you can with answering these questions. And I think that when it comes to like themes and form, like to even to strengthen aspects of your application, make them relevant to each other if you can. Like if there's a particular reason why you're using a form, like why you're doing stand-up comedy or why you're doing a brutal postmodern play is because of the content, like that's another way to think about, okay, this is, you know, it's going to strengthen things. If the context, you know, if it relates to the content relates to the context, you can talk about how they like build on each other. So it's all interconnected.
And even on that, you know, 350 words, you're trying to explain a lot. Use your support material. If there's something that you need to explain in more detail, use a director's note. We were talking earlier, maybe Sujit, you can talk to this a bit more, about literally including a glossary of words.
Yes. Oh my God. So it's certain, like sometimes I do a work that's like either it's based on a historical really niche thing, or sometimes it's to do with my culture. Sometimes I'm going to use, actually I've started testing sneaky things, not super relevant to everyone, but maybe it will be. Sometimes I use certain words in my own like language in things that are quite formal, but then I'm like, oh, I can't think of a better English word for this, so I'm just going to chuck it in. But so no one feels like they don't know what I'm talking about, there's a glossary. There's a way to go, here's some context that will help you understand why I want to tell this story, how I want to tell it, because maybe this form I saw somewhere that was in a really random place somewhere else in this world, and I got really inspired by it, and now I want to bring this concept here. Or, you know, I'm retelling this story, but I'm telling it in this way. And I know that, Bree, we were talking about surprises, like let's not hide anything, let's not have surprises, but it's great that you brought up, you know, the form and content. That's where the surprises sometimes happen, in terms of surprising in your content, surprising in your amazing minds of what you can dream about. And don't hold back. I think that's one thing that I've been feeling these last 4 weeks, like I'm new here. But one thing I really want to ask of you is that don't hold back when it comes to pushing boundaries, when people say risk taking, when like old people talk about like, we want to be innovative, we want you to take risks, we want you to be edgy and bold. What does that mean to you? Because it could mean so many different things. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be the obvious version of that, of what you think the audience wants, because you're going to bring that cool audience. And audiences, we don't know what we want until we've seen it. And then we're like, oh my God. So don't worry about like, we've got lots of like, we're going to get through lots of marketing and stuff, but be really strong, which is why the first two questions are in the order that they are, because we, you know, language, you're going to choose, you're going to pick and choose in your own voice. In what section are you going to use really boring language, because we just need to do it like that? And what section are you going to use really persuasive language? And I think that's where the why for me is always where people can go nuts in their, you know, TED Talk vibes, yeah. Oprah vibes.
And we have done a bit of work on the application structure as well. To make creativity, the first thing that is what you answer, so that we, the panel and for you yourself, can get in that excited mode, you know. And another tip is that maybe, you know, on that note about when you're going to use the boring practical language, when are you going to use the wild and emotive language, is maybe, you know, if you can't do both, you get different team members to write that for you.
So moving on to question three, if we're talking about when do we use the boring language, how do you plan to undertake your creative process? This is where you get into the nitty-gritty of your process. Okay, pretend like you're explaining it to someone. I don't know about you guys, but I have a family that's not in the arts. So how would I explain what I do for work to my family members? Like, I can't say, yeah, today I just did a structured improvisation and then we did some like journaling. Like, what does that mean?
I think that would be a good answer.
Anyway. I mean, but like, what does that mean? You know, yeah, like, totally. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to chat about this topic. We are going to write some poems and we're going to use those poems to do some physical improvisation in the space together. Mm-hmm. So just like, look at that question. This is where we can get into that nitty gritty. And just think, what is going to happen when everyone is in that room together? Or if people aren't in the room together, how does that work?
And yeah. I think that's a good opportunity to circle back on what you were saying before, Sukhjeet, of like, if you've got questions about the process, or, you know, that could be weaved into how do you plan to make it. It's like, these are the questions that we're going to ask as a team. This is what we know. This is how we want to work. This is the kind of process we want to use. But these are the things we don't know. Like, you can talk to the panelist as if, you know, they're almost on your team or something like that. Like, you just can be a little bit honest about, yeah, what absolutely. You want to do with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like that section where it says, if this is your first time experimenting with a new process, tell us why. Because maybe there might be a new way, like, you know, maybe sometimes there are ways that we've been taught, this is how you put on a theater show, this is how you put on a dance work, this is how you put on X. Well, maybe there is something that you're trialing out because you've been doing it specifically in this way and now you want to try it this way. And that's where you could kind of hint at that for us as well, because this isn't the whole process. I feel like it's not meant to go, oh, you know, grilling as if it's like, oh, what do you know? What do you know? It's like, no. There's actually lots that I kind of know, and this is the stuff. I mean, we're an artist development organization. Mm-hmm. It's a very different vibe. So this isn't a test. There is no testing. There is no failing or succeeding. It's just a process, and that's exciting because sometimes when you're writing it, you might think of new things and that's also really good. Just because you thought of it like a year ago and you're like, yep, I'm going to bring up my old, I've got a notes tab in my computer, I'm going to bring up that tab and go, oh, I really want to expand on that idea. But then something's changed in the world or something else has happened. Don't be afraid to, even while you're writing this application, to change your mind. It's okay. That's great. And you'll change your mind when you get it too. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Should we move to the next
one? And then, last one in creativity, how will you use the space? Just think big picture. Like, think, you know, annual season is about being creative. It is about, you get that room and you can do almost anything to it. You know, you can paint, you can do set. Like, what does that look like? I mean, pretend you've got a lot of money. Like, what is the big picture goal for what you want from the show? Like, I think just don't like hold back in a way.
And just a timeline thing on that. So we have moved forward the application process for annual season to earlier in the year. It used to be at the end of the year, but we've wanted to give more space and time for the artists that are in annual season to make their work, apply for funding, market their shows, all of that stuff. But wait, where was I going with this in terms of space? The space
and big picture.
Big picture. Painting. Oh, sorry, I lost my... Shows? No, I'll come back
that's
to okay. that.
You that's okay, that's all good.
Yeah.
Maybe we keep moving forwards. Cool.
Yeah, space. And yeah, that's once again, like I know I keep using all those gross words like innovative and like, but really what does that mean to you? What is the dream picture? Because I don't know if this is fully true, but we might be the only like arts organization that doesn't censor. So what would that look like if you like could absolutely go to your what's going on in your mind and we want to see it on the page? Because we don't know. I don't know until like you actually tell us. So, I mean, and also like what helps with the space question for me is that when I'm engaging, and maybe all of you have already like made shows here or you've got so much like experience at the Bloom, so you're like, I know this place inside out. But when I don't know this place inside out, so I feel like I love going to other shows to see how they might use this space and similar spaces like this, because then I might be like, oh, or maybe I might do some research online at different venues around Australia, around the world, of what's possible, because this application should be your dream version. And you might have a producer on your team, and I sometimes do this to myself. I like think of an idea and then I already start limiting it in my mind without even thinking, like actually fully taking that thought further. So maybe your first draft is the dream version.
Yeah.
And then you can get more realistic. But also that's for us to deal with. Totally.
Cool. I just remembered what I was going to say before. In terms of like the panel and how it's put together, like we often do say that it is what if you've got an idea and you want to get feedback from it, even if you're not sure about this is like definitely going to go into annual season, because the panel rotates each year, we do give a lot of feedback. Like there are a lot of other opportunities that you go for and not get any feedback from, but this is your chance to put up an idea in front of industry. And those first four questions, when it comes to creativity, like that creativity is subjective. The interpretation of the selection criteria is never going to be 100% the same like for every panelist. So if it doesn't get in one year, it doesn't mean that's never going to go up at Blue Room. It just means take on board that feedback. It's like very constructive against the selection criteria. See if it applies and you want to change it to meet the selection criteria, or be like, no, actually, I don't want to do it at Blue Room, and that's fine as well. Also, just on that question four, how you use the space, you can put links to your support material to save time as well. It's just like a practical tip. And if you wanted to do like a pie in the sky kind of vision, but you're also like, that may put me out of the race, you can put a little contingency note in there and be like, if this is not possible, we would still be happy to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah.
Plan A, plan B.
Nice. All right. Let's development. Keep moving forward. We are a development organization. So someone on the team or the whole team has got to learn something is what we usually say. Yeah.
This question can sometimes feel like a bit of a rinse and repeat, especially if you do a lot of grant applications and things like that. I would just say, like, actually think about it. Actually be like, true. What do we want to learn? Like, really try and be genuine about it, and genuine about how, why it's this project and why it's this opportunity here at the Blue Room and why it's this team. And just think like really genuinely about what it actually is. That's all I'll say on that. Anything to add?
No, I love it. It's so good. It's so exciting to like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Nothing. Cool. Epic.
Yeah, and just to remind people that it is different to like that creative process development. So creative development, you're talking about how you want to make the show, and the development selection criteria is really about the team, what they're going to get. It could be one person, it could be the whole team. Cool. Yeah. Okay, engagement. So this is one that you, a selection criteria that you won't see in Summer Nights application if you've done that form recently or, you know, in the past. Summer Nights, you know, you'll get like a 5-night run, whereas the annual season, you might sustain up to 3 weeks of shows, which is quite a lot of shows to push in Perth, even in a 50-seat theatre. So the panel does want to know, who do you have in mind? You know, is it a specific audience that you don't see at Blue Room already? Is it the Blue Room audience? Like, who is going to connect with this work and with your work, and what strategies are you going to use to connect with them? Anything to add?
I think just like an example from myself is last year I worked on a show like with a person that has chronic illness, and we like went into medical clinics and like spoke to the people there and dropped our flyers and like offered discounts. Like, think about who needs to see this show and how you're going to get to them, because like you ideally don't just want to put on a show to like the same 20 people that have seen your work before. Like, ideally you're doing an annual season show, 15 shows, it's a lot of tickets to sell. Who does it connect to, and how do you get out to all enough people to sell that many shows? And again, just try and be really genuine with this question. Like, that if you like, you might already have like community engagement ideas, this would be the place that you could talk to that. You also don't need to have community engagement ideas for this question. Like, it just comes back to like being really genuine. Think about the work, what it actually is, what it actually needs, and don't just try and like write that you want to run a workshop if you don't want to run a workshop. Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, you know what it's like. Like, we can tell, you can tell when we're like all faking it, and we're trying to force things together when they're not meant to be like that. Like, think about what's appropriate for you, your team, what your capabilities are, what your capacity is. And like, I don't know if this is correct, but in my head, I was thinking of what does it mean to like activate a space, or what does it mean to like, not only do you get that space internally as a theater, but what are you doing outside as well? And I know that that's me just saying it out loud for the first time in front of these two, but I think that there are some tiny things that don't have to be, you know, I know people think about money constraints when it comes to that, and risk, and like, how are we going to activate, you know, the capacity space. Yeah, and like capacity. We're already stressed out because we've got a show to put on. What do you mean I want to do stuff extra on top of that? But nowadays, I think more than ever, we look at what's happening with theatre around Australia. Like, how are we creating experiences where people aren't even wanting to go out for dinner with you anymore, and they're not wanting to leave the house, right? So what makes someone who went on the Mandurah line and came from Kwinana, which is where I came from today, and was in the rain, rushed, showed up, and what is that experience from when they walk through that door to when they leave after seeing your show? What is that entire experience? It can come with like sensory things. It can come with music things. It can come with the vibe, the feeling, visuals, different, like, yeah. I think that's really exciting, because you do have access to not just one space, but the full experience.
Nice. That's also really nice. I like just riffing off of that, with who does the project connect with, and how you connect with them is not necessarily like just marketing strategies, it's engagement as well. So how do you engage with those people when they're inside the building before the show, after show? That was really nice tip. Cool. So if we want to leave enough time for questions, let's move on to planning. So this is when you get into the dry logistical language. What does your project timeline look like? Just list your key milestones, admin processes, producing processes, rehearsals, you know, auditions. If you have a cast that you're going to be looking for, when you apply for funding, and marketing timelines. These are just prompts. You don't need to do all of these, but they're just examples to get you thinking about how you're going to communicate to the panel that you've got this, basically. Like, it's always a risk when you're curating the season. So it's like, how do you fill them with confidence that you at least know what your process looks like? Doesn't need to look like everyone else's process, but how are you going to be sure that you can do all of this fun stuff that you've said you're going to do?
Yeah. And if you already know that people in your team have different things on at different times of year, put that in, or like, just be aware of that. Consider that. When are you going to rehearse? How can you make the show happen?
And what's realistic as well? Like, sometimes I'm not very realistic when I write things. I go, oh yeah, I'm going to write this, you know, this massive thing with 20,000 people, and it's going to be all this, this, and this, and this, and this, and it's going to be done in 2 days. Everyone's like, oh, that's not realistic, Sigjeet. So just be really like realistic what you're, because, you know, we also care about well-being and thinking about, you know, sometimes because we're so passionate, we want to give so much, but also know that we are taking care of ourselves as well. Mm. And we're checking in and going, oh, you know, maybe we don't want to burn out throughout this whole show. Maybe this is how we want to work. For example, in film, there's like, you know how we've got like different rates of how we pay people when it comes to like different industries. And something that I used to always struggle with is that film shoots, like the hours are really long. And I know in theater as well, we do have a very loosey-goosey way of doing hours as well. And I used to always find that it was just like, I couldn't personally sit there. Like, if I was a producer on a show, I couldn't deal with that long day because of what was going on in my life, or just in general, I didn't want to work that way. So then I would find ways to like make that really clear when I actually applied for something, because this is the inception, this is the beginning of that process. Mm. And maybe this like process will turn into something completely different in terms of where it goes, how it's, you know, shown, you know, in terms of other funding you can apply for and everything. But that's something that we're all kind of mindful of in the industry. So also think about that for yourself as well. Mm. Like, what's realistic with what's going on in my life right now? Mm. And if I'm planning for the future and I'm planning for 2024, what is happening in my life in 2024?
Cool.
Next one.
Question
awesome. Eight. And you can expand on that in terms of the next question, question eight, how we divide responsibilities across your team and to keep people accountable to the project. This is kind of a strange question, or it could be interpreted in different ways, but the prompt here is helpful in terms of speak to what tasks each person will do and how you'll keep the project on track. So you might have a producer, you might have two people producing the project. There's different tasks that are going to fall under those titles, and people are going to, you know, be a different producer to the next person.
And but lots of these things are listed in the pack as well.
In the
well.
Producer pack, yeah, once you're into season.
Normal
or
things
in
that
nights.
People do.
Totally. So how do you communicate to the panel that who's going to kind of have the responsibility to keep things on track?
Yeah,
and
so
keep
like
things moving?
Who's scheduling? Who's doing budgets? Who is going to be the Blue Room contact? Who's doing marketing and publicity stuff? It's just thinking about timelines and thinking about how to keep the show running, because obviously it is independent theatre. You're all probably going to be working between one and five jobs. Like, that's just reality. How do you stay on top of it? Again, it just comes into like the panel wants to see that you've thought about it, because, mm-hmm. yeah,
Sometimes on a team, I think this is also coming from the past experiences with the Blue Room, where sometimes someone might say that they are the director, but they're also doing a lot of other things, that we all kind of are slashies. But in this question, it helps you and us and everyone get really clear. And it's okay if it changes. It's just if you're communicating. And as you know, in teams, in creative teams, I feel like we give a lot of resources and training in every other sector when it comes to teams, even in university, even when you're in high school, you know what team, what it looks like when one person's doing that assignment and everyone else is slacking off or vice versa. But I think in the arts, it's really great that we're starting to think about, you know, how can we learn those skills and use those skills that are really important in art making that sometimes get forgotten and then can cause a lot of conflict later. So it's good to think about. And I know first I was about to say, oh, should it be that if you divide the responsibility and it's like one person doesn't have all the weight, but then I'm reflecting on some projects of mine in my slate in my brain right now, and there are some that are going to be weighted more of mine, like the percentage of what I'm doing on the project. And that's because I was the one that said, hey, I want to lead this, I want to do it. And that's okay. It's just I know what capacity I have and I've like checked in with myself. So yeah. It's not about everyone's like, you know, communism and we all like have to, it's like, what? We have to percentage, like, what? This isn't like percentages or anything. It's more just like, yeah. So you're clear about what roles you're going to be playing as well.
Cool. And then last question, what will success for the project look like to you? I guess like this is, again, pretty subjective. Like I just some like dot points that it makes me think of is like, I want to learn something new. I want to sell this many tickets. It's about my idea that I've been sitting on for 3 years. It's about that idea coming to life. It's about I've had this vision of what the stage will look like and I want those design elements actualized. Like just, yeah, what do you want out of it? Mm. What will make you happy?
Because you've gone through so much effort. Like, you know, it's a labor of love. Mm. You're going to go through so much effort to get it up. So you want to know. And I know that sometimes when we think of like success, we all have different relationships with that word, right? And it can bring up a lot. Mm. But for me, how I've interpreted that question is if I want to, like strategically, I want to put on the show at the Blue Room and then I want to tour it and then I want to take it to Broadway and then I want to take it on to Mars. I don't know. Like I've got a plan for this show. You don't have to talk about the plan. It's just my own little plan. But this is going to help me get to the next plan. Mm. So sometimes these things can also prompt you to think about. And once again, it's just a system that we live in and how we report things in the future for our show and the future life of our show. And I think that success thing also links in with me with audiences. It's like you've put all this effort in. You want people to come. You want people to come and see it.
Nice. I know we're pushing it for time a little bit. If we move forward and maybe Rose, can you just chat a little bit to the representation additional consideration?
Yes, I can. So financial planning, basically click on the financial transparency link when it isn't paper, but it's online. Have a read through that. We want to be, you know, transparent in terms of what the deal is here. And you can use like those numbers that are in the transparency doc to do your own budget based on whether you want the theater, the bigger venue or whatever. So there's just some like tick boxes there. And then with your production team, put down everyone that is confirmed or not. There's a bunch of prompts there. And then if there's any roles missing, that's pretty straightforward. How will you get them? In terms of additional consideration representation, so this, instead of being part of the selection criteria as it was in Summer Nights this year, we've just tweaked it slightly to just see how it goes in terms of the way people answer things or not answer things. So it's an optional question, and we're doing a lot of work in the equity and justice space to ensure that Blue Room is a welcome venue for people from underrepresented backgrounds. So you can have a look at the Equity and Justice Plan on our website. There is a link to it in the online version of this form. But basically, it's an optional question. And we do have a note about it in the pack. It's not up on the slide. But basically, that we do ask for being authentic and acting with intention with answering this question. We acknowledge that we're in a bit of a transitional space in terms of learning about, you know, working cross-culturally. And so, yeah, it's just a new time for us at Blue Room here. And if you, have any questions, then you can definitely chat to us about it. But basically, it's pretty straightforward in terms of, are the project's artistic leaders and or team members from underrepresented communities that are in line with our focus area for Equity and Justice Plan? Have a read through that.
Please read the plan. The plan is going to help you understand a lot more that we can't unpack in this beautiful session about an annual season. And you might have your own reactions or bodily functions towards the plan. And that's okay. That's normal. We're all human. But I think where I feel like this question is also coming from is it might also prompt you to think about, I know I do this with my own like personal life. I go, who do I hang out with? Who are the five people that I hang out with all the time? Do they look exactly like me? Do they sound exactly like me? Do we do all the same shit? And I feel like maybe I want to like open up my circle of friends and then collaborators and then workplace, and it all kind of helps us create a ripple effect in kumbaya stuff. So
well said. Yeah, cool. There's also space for an optional question if anyone has accessibility requirements. Both of these questions are optional in terms of, if you don't want to disclose things, then you also do not have to. We'll move on to, there's a couple of notes about personnel. We have a database here for our members that are wanting to do shows here that we can connect you with people. There's membership. Everyone has to become a member. The production blocks are very straightforward. I just wanted to pull out this question about if your idea sits outside of the standard production block 3-week season, please detail how you see it working. So you might answer all of the creativity questions and you're like, wait, I do not want to do 3 weeks of this, but I can see it happening in a different way. We're really open to that at the moment. We've kept a question in the Summer Nights application for roving and site-specific work, and it just meant that someone could pitch us an idea that we wouldn't have thought of before. So yeah, that's just another optional thing. Everything else is quite straightforward in terms of planning, and I'll just quickly cover some support material stuff. Bree gave you some really good tips in terms of start early with support material. Required should be pretty straightforward. You can make it video or audio. Just make sure that you're covering your required stuff off first. Just check it off, when you're working on your application, so you don't forget it. And when it's recommended, maximum of 3 of the below. So just choose the things that fill in the gaps that you haven't been able to describe or paint a picture of or whatever it is in your application. So your director notes could literally be anything. It's just someone addressing the panel. So use that however you want. Use images however you want. Just choose the things that are going to, give you the best shot.
Brie. Also, more is not necessarily better.
Yeah.
It's about quality, not quantity. These applications are very big and long. If you include it for a reason.
Upon saying that, like in terms of including video stuff, don't feel like you need to make a professional level trailer. Like if it's literally an iPhone in a rehearsal room so that the panel can see how you dance or how you move or what you're talking about that's very difficult to put in words, it's better to put it in like, so it's like, I definitely agree with that. Don't just put in more because you've got it. Think about how you're positioning the application and what you want them to see and how you want to illustrate what you're talking about.
And one thing that I'm learning as well is, does everything align?
like, is when you're saying something in your budget, when you're saying something in your timeline, when you're saying something in your support material, and then what you're saying in your first couple of questions about creativity, are they all saying the same thing, or are they like five different projects? Because I also tend to stuff up there as well when I get, when I'm stressed or I'm trying to cram in too much. Yeah, just, and then that's where you reread and you edit and you get someone, like you were saying, people not in our industry, family members, friends, neighbors. Not that we talk to neighbors anymore. Like, that's a weird comment. I was like, who knows their neighbor? Anyways, I wish we did. But I think that just trying to, yeah, I do still get like family to read my work, because then it's a good foolproof sort of like, okay, cool, you get what I'm trying to say.
Definitely. Yeah. Cool. Anything else before we open up for questions? If anyone needs to leave, it is 6:17. So apologies for running over a little bit. Yeah, if anyone needs to run, otherwise we'll take questions now.
Also, that was a lot of information. Yeah. So if you want to just digest that and like email us, or call us as well, you're more than welcome to do that. Our email is all online. Maybe verbally, it's Brianna, BRIANNAH at blueroom.org.au.
And just familiarize yourself with the pack. So it's just on our website under Artists Annual Season. It looks like this. It's got a lot of info. So like, combine that with your notes taken today. Yeah, you can kind of go through it, digest the information, sing out if you need anything. And we also have the pack available in bionic reading as well, which we learned is a way to just like focus. Like the first three letters of the word in bold makes it really easy to read stuff sometimes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You learn something new every day. Cool.
Yes.
Three.
Do it.
Okay.
First one, I'm creative. It's mostly covered, but I thought I got the opportunity. So, the production team. So, I'm a very new theater group. Yep. We just formed like last year. I've been doing lots of productions, but as a group, we are quite new. And every time we are putting up a production, I'm actually sending an audition notice, trying to find more artists and join them. I might have some indicative people, but they may be subjected to change. Because I can't, and also, if I'm actually contacting somebody, like this, like,
yeah,
it's very hard for people to come in. Is that actually acceptable? I can put some indicative names, or I can, like, for example, just explain that scenario, whatever works.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, do you have to be confirmed?
So no, they don't have to be confirmed, which is why, like, we've kind of got that box. So you confirmed yes, confirmed, or confirmed no. Yeah, and you know, like, if you're running auditions, then you can put that on there and say, we're running auditions, you know, the intention is that we want to meet new people within the industry. You know, we've got that note there that, you know, the Blue Room has our list of opt-in artists. You can, I think it's all about just making it as clear as possible. So writing on there, like, you know, I don't have any designers, but I really want to connect with the Blue Room database and like connect with new people. And putting on also, if they're not confirmed, but they're someone that's like, yeah, I'm interested, but I, you know, can't guarantee the month I'm available, but put their name on there, because something that comes up is like, people are like, I've got a bunch of people that I think I'll use. And it's like, who are they?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't write their name, we're like, are you just making it up? Like, you know, that's obviously not a good thing to think. But like, literally, yeah, just like put their name and go, or even like, I really want to work with this person.
Yeah.
And in your stuff development like plan, chuck in the audition stuff. Like, yeah, in your plan, and then it's in your timeline, and then it makes a lot of sense. Like, someone can be like, oh, that's why they haven't got this person. Yeah. Because sometimes in my plans, I like to write, this is when I want this person locked in. And your order might be different according to what art form you're working on or what your outcome's going to be. So you can have a think about, yeah.
Totally.
You're not going to get penalized for not having every single person confirmed.
Yeah.
That's normal. Yeah. Very normal.
Yeah.
If you've got just on that, like, so if you've got like the essence, like the team that you need to like do this in terms of like a lead creative, like a producer is good to have, it's not essential, but like basically the panel want to know that even if you have like stuff kind of going wrong in auditions or whatever it is, that like that dream team can put it on. Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So many people do not have performers confirmed. Yeah. Totally. But and also just like linking that to your date preferences, like you can see you put your date preferences 1 to 6. If there was like this dream star that you had that was only available in June, then you put June as your first preference and then make it really clear to the panel that if you put us in June, then we can work with that key artist or yeah, whatever that is. And what was your second question? Mm-hmm.
And when I'm actually going to ask my preference, I'm going to ask for sometime in the later part of next year, which is probably like 12 months ahead. And I'm now in the middle of a production, which I'm putting up in November. Mm. So my team literally will get free only after that. Spend on this. So is something like a one-liner of the story acceptable? Now, I didn't want to be disqualified because I don't have a full script or a 10-page excerpt, but I can write a good synopsis of what I'm intending to do. I don't know, generally, is that something that people accept?
I think that you could put it under devised work. Like, so if you have a script ready to go, or if you've got a 10-page excerpt, then definitely put it in because the panel are going to see an example of your writing. But if you don't have a script, I would still say to people, just put it in as a devised work. Like if you're going to work with your team when they've finished, you know, this production and you want to write a synopsis, and then expand on when you're going into development, how you're going to write the script together, then I would just, make sure that you give a good synopsis, probably longer than, I'd give like a paragraph at least of synopsis.
And also, I don't know what the panel looks for, because I can always, because if somebody's worried about the quality of the script that is going to come up, all the reading is good, what's going to finally come up, I can always attach a script that I have previously done for a production that I'm doing.
Yeah.
That may not be related.
And also like sometimes for a new idea, something that is in between a synopsis and in between a script, I don't know what the official word in theater, but in like film it's like and I've forgotten the word in film as well, but it's basically treatment? it's like where you actually would write, so let's say I had a 60-minute show, I would not write the entire scene. I would say, this is what's happening in this scene. Like I know the arc. Sorry. Yeah. What it helps is you know an arc of a story. It's a scene breakdown. So it's like less effort than doing the entire script. But if you've got enough time to just do that as well, then we know that the story's kind of and you can look at examples online of what that looks like, and that will – you'll figure out what format works for you. But also, since you've also got a show at the Blue Room, is that correct? Like happening soon? That's another venue. Yeah. Oh, okay. But you did one last year. And I think that also helps that you've got some past, you understand the process of making a show, and you've got like, I don't know, I feel like there is something in this support material that really, that maybe when it says for more emerging artists, full scripts are recommended. And that usually comes from a place of like, well, everyone wants to support everyone in the world, but what does it actually look like when, like I know when I was first starting out, the struggle that I had was people would go, well, what, just like in retail, like where's your experience? And you're like, but I want you to give me a chance so then I can get that experience. And this is kind of like, no, here's your chance. But then in order to get this application and go through the process of writing this application, that's almost like the first step, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I hope you don't see it as a deterrent, but more of a like,
no.
It's like, oh, like yeah, this will help me. That's great. Thank you.
And also like just on the support material thing, like I haven't had that question come up before, like, would I submit, you know, a past script or something? But things can always change, you know? If there's an application that comes through that makes us think differently about support material, like, that's our job, is to keep these processes, like, updated and, you know, useful for the artists and the panel. So, like, yeah, thank you for asking that.
That's great.
Cool.
Any final questions?
Cool. We also have a show upstairs tonight called We'll Always Have Bali. So if you're in the room or, you know, close by, you can check it out at 6:45. And yeah, we'll just be online if you have any questions or only a call away, like Craig David. Is that the thing? I don't know. It just rang something deep in my brain. Cool. But yeah, thank you all for coming. Yeah, it's really great to have you in the space. And yeah, if you want to stay in chat, you can. And thanks to all the online people. Thanks, Asha. Thanks, Lil. Cool. All right. Awesome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Mic drop.
I know. You came to Perth. Yeah. Were you at the Perth Festival? Was it Perth Festival?